Bible, heaven and hell, Christ and Satan. That deadly war that has been raging is an extreme war. It's a guerrilla warfare. Satan is subversive, dark, okay? And I just want people to know, you can't be neutral or ignorant about this battle. This battle, if you're neutral or ignorant, it puts you right in the crosshairs. Okay. The church, our church, every church, the Church of Jesus Christ is not a showboat. A lot of people come to church thinking that. But we're a battleship. We are fighting for the souls of men and women. You see, we're heaven bound. We're heaven born and heaven bound. But we're also born for this battle. Okay. We must understand that we weren't just born for the battle, we were born again. And we were born again to be victorious in Christ. Okay. If you will, open your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Ephesians 6:11, it talks about our adversary. I mean, I think we have to know who our enemy is so we can prepare properly for the battle. He is not, as most Americans seem to think, a little guy in some red underwear running around with a pitchfork. Okay? He's not sitting on our shoulder arguing with us, though he may be doing that, but we underestimate this adversary. He is a decided fact. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, stand against the wiles or the schemes, as it says in ESV, of the devil. That is from a Greek word, methodia, a plural word, methods. He utilizes a lot of methods to attack us. He's very spiritual. In 1 John 4:1, it says, we are told to test the spirits. Satan is strong. In our flesh, we are no match for him. Okay. I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, I'm going to bind the devil. Well, you are if you're Jesus Christ. That's what my Bible says. But Martin Luther really said it well in a very popular song called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It says, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And he is sinister, wicked. He is bent on destroying us. Okay. But the good news, he's also a defeated foe. That was finished at the resurrection of Christ. John 12:31 says, at some point, he will be cast out. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You see, God is almighty, and he's greater than our adversary. When Satan was defeated at Calvary, God still allowed him to have power on this earth, for he is the prince of this earth. But you know, it's a limited power. And we as Christians can overcome through that power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in defeat, we do not want to underestimate these dark, diabolical powers. You know, a lot of you, being from Montana, Idaho, those places, are pretty familiar with rattlesnakes. You realize that you cut the head off a rattlesnake, and for up to an hour later, he can still bite you and inject his venom in you, even with the head severed from the body. You know, I want to tell you a little story. Most of you are football fans. I was a pretty big football fan until all this stuff started, but most of you are football fans. I know we see a lot of Montana Grizzly jackets and shirts and sweatshirts and that. Well, in football, when there's a kickoff or a punt, there is a player on that team who is called the gunner. And the gunner is very fast and strong. And it's his job to barrel through the blocks and get down the field and stop the player who catches the ball. I know of a story where a gunner wanted to make sure he was just a little bit faster. So he left off his protective gear that protected his ribs because he could run faster without it. Ball's kicked. It's 2 minutes left to go in the game. The score is tied. And the gunner takes off. The guy who's going to catch the football drops it. He fumbles it just outside of the end zone. That gunner knew, boy, if I get there in time, we can get that ball. He was going as fast as he could, and what he didn't see was a lineman who had swung around and all of a sudden was in between he and the guy who was fumbling around with the ball. And he knew if he went to the right, he'd miss him. If he went to the left, he'd miss him. So he's going to go right through him and try to get that ball. Boom! A little while later, the cameras are still focusing on him on the field as he's laying there unconscious. They get him off, and he has a whole side full of broken ribs. He had those ribs because he left off a piece of his armor. So keep that in mind as we talk about the Christian warrior and his armor. I guess I should have remembered to do these. You see, if we're not prepared for the battle, we'll lose it. We have a lot of distinguished veterans in our congregation, and I know that this really hits home with them. A lot of them have been in conflict. But if we're not prepared for the battle, we will lose it. Scripture tells us to put on the whole armor of God. The girdle or belt of truth is our integrity. It is the believer's integrity. See, soldiers used to wear this thick leather belt to protect their loins and to hold their sword and different weapons. It also held his tunic back so someone couldn't grab it and use it as to work against him. But Satan's attack is untruth. Okay. Untruth and lying. He would like to see us lose our integrity. He would like to see us lose that belt. Okay. The breastplate of righteousness. Oh. What did I do wrong?
It's like you started it over again.
How?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Thank you, computer person. Okay. The breastplate of righteousness is the believer's purity. Ephesians 6:14 tells us, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, but having put on the breastplate of righteousness." We should make sure there's no unconfessed or unrepentant sin in our lives. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." See, the Romans and a lot of the armies would put on a breastplate that was metal or woven chain, and that would prevent arrows and things be able to penetrate into the heart and the vital organs. But the enemy attacks our purity. He attacks our purity with lust. Okay. Today, all we have to do is turn on a commercial on TV, and it tends to want to generate lust. Okay. I'll try to do this without going back. There we go. The shoes of peace. The shoes of the peace of the gospel. Literally, it's our tranquility. I heard someone talk earlier in our Sunday school class about standing on the rock. See, your shoes keep you from slipping. Football, you have cleats to help give you more traction. But our shoes stand on that rock. Okay. It's a great standing place to fight evil. Keeps us from slipping and falling. We are at peace with God, but we need to make sure we're always at peace with one another, and that we have peace in our hearts. Unless you have peace in your life, you can't make war. Isn't that a strange statement? Unless you have peace, you can't make war. Peace is not the subtraction of problems. It's the addition of strength to meet those problems. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law." And the enemy also wants to attack us with discouragement. It's one of his greatest weapons. If he can find a little opening there, he'll drive that wedge of discouragement in. Makes us focus on the discouragement and not on the cross. The shield of faith, that is also our certainty. That is the believer's certainty. In Ephesians 6:17, it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword." 16. "Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the darts or the arrows of the wicked one." Fiery arrows. They used to build their shields. They would be wood covered with leather, and then they would soak the leather. So if a flaming arrow hit that, it would not ignite it right away. There would be time to knock the arrow off or that. So that was how they protected a lot of different parts of the body. But our shield is faith. Faith in the one that we know is stronger than any force on this earth or in this universe. The helmet of salvation. You know, if your head is wounded, you're pretty much done. You're out of the battle. So we need to protect the head. Okay. Somehow, I lost my spot here. The helmet of salvation is our sanity. That helmet of deliverance, of salvation, that we know we have a home in heaven. But because of that home, we know that we have protection by the power of Christ. And that protects our mind and our thoughts. A mind under control is a mind that's focused on God. As long as we're focused on Him, we have the ability to control our mind. You know, in the story of the demoniac in the Gerasenes, after Jesus dealt with the demons that were in the demoniac, the people in the town, they came and they found the demoniac clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. It talks about the power of Satan to work on our minds. When we look at these pieces of armor, those pieces of armor all represent Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ, the full armor of God, every day. But we have to understand the attack. We have to understand it's simply not enough to put on the armor. We have to get in the fight. To get in the fight, we have to understand that we have a sword. And that sword is the Word of God. That sword is more powerful than anything else that we can take. Okay. The Word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. When Jesus was in the wilderness and being tested by the devil would attack him, and Jesus hit him with the sword. It is written. He attacked him again. Fall, the angels will catch you, right? Boom, Jesus hit him again with the sword. It is written. How much of that Bible should we know? All of it? That sounds like a good answer. All of it. And the more we understand and the more we know, the more we stay in the Word, the more we have the strength for our side of the attack. Okay. There's a provision of the Spirit that all of us can tap into, and we tap into it by God's Word. But now we have to know who our allies are. We are not a one-man army. One of the greatest things we can do is pray. Pray for courage, pray for strength, pray for understanding. But we can all pray. And there is power in that corporate prayer. And we need to be praying for one another. We need to pray for each other that we will be strong. And that we will stand against these methods, the wiles, the fiery darts of Satan. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, one can fight 10,000, but one can fight 1,000, but two can fight 10,000. We pray together, we pray for each other. But I tell you, we really need to be in this fight. Too many Christians are AWOL. Our job is to go to heaven. Do you know that? And take as many people as we can with us. Go ye therefore, all the world. Okay. Go to heaven and take as many as we can with us. Okay. Too many people come to church, they sit and soak. And they don't really pull everything in to give them more strength for the fight and the mission. Our fellow Christians are part of our army. The church is part of our army. I want you to remember some things about the battle we're in. Choose your side carefully.